Know the truth.
Wake up, you sip hot tea. Mindless music, radio free. You see blue skies and think of sea. How are you doing? And later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give half-truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. How are we doing? Educate, they fabricate. And we sit back till it's too late.
The Radio Avenger.
Rick Adams is on.
And welcome all to the program. Saturday, every Saturday, definitely, here as a regular fixture on Republic Broadcasting Network from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Central Time. And I'm on Eastern Time here in the East Coast, up the coast of southern New England, but up the northern part of the country. And today is the 23rd, I believe. Is that right? Wow. 23rd of May. It's a holiday weekend, they tell me. It's a Memorial Day weekend. This is going to be the first holiday weekend that we know of under unusual precedent-setting circumstances for a long time, with lockdowns in place and all sorts of, political correctness and ruling of the elite, by the elite, for the elite, taking place across the world. And so it's going to be very unusual, very different, but in many places it will be almost back to normal. So, I'll get into a little bit of that in a few minutes today. I did want to begin, though, with my scriptural readings. I'm once again reading through the whole Bible, King James Bible, Companion Bible, the Annotated Bible, and I am in I'm in the fifth book of the Pentateuch here. I'm in Deuteronomy, and I'm on chapter 10. But I really, really saw something again that leaped out at me in chapter 8, at the end of chapter 8, in the book of the Law. And, once again, over and over and over, we find that the Lord is trying to tell his people that they are his people. And he's just about had it with them. Back then, 5,000, 4,000 years ago, he's ready to destroy them over and over again. He's ready to just wipe them out. He's ready to say goodbye. And Moses, of course, was one of those who intervened on behalf of his people before the Lord. And, the Lord didn't do what he intended to do, destroy them all. But he says that they will be destroyed. Generations shall be destroyed. Numbers of them shall be destroyed in war, subjugation to the enemy. He'll use that enemy, Cain and his seed line, to punish his people. Boy, has he done that. Well, way back then, in this time of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, and in the last few verses, verse 10, Moses, the instructionist, is telling them, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he said, that giveth thee power to get wealth, to enjoy the blessings of the world, material possessions, that he may establish that covenant," he says, "with thee, and the power to get these things, to have these things." That power comes to thee. And why? Because he made a covenant with you. Covenant which he swore unto your fathers, as it is to this very day. Well, in 19, "And it shall be, if thou do not at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them to testify against you this day, says that ye shall surely perish. And that's what he meant. And he did. And many of them did perish. Great numbers perished over the years because, as he said, I give thee power. You don't have any power. You're a small people. And the Amalekites are huge and they're tall people. And the Anakims are tall people. And you're going to go up against all these enemies in the land of Canaan. And you're going to win. You're going to whip them. You're going to destroy them. Because it won't be you who destroys them, but I will destroy them. If you obey. Now that's the kind of true warfare that only God can guarantee a victory in, you see. We haven't won a war in America since the infamous era of World War II. Every single war has been a disaster for America. Purposefully so. Purposefully so. The enemy who rules over us said, we don't want victory. We want perpetual war so we can have peace in our time. Peace. Peace when there is no peace, as the prophet said. The only time we did have victory was when we shouldn't have. When we should not have had a victory over freedom, over liberty, over the sovereignty of nations. So God said, go ahead. If you want to serve mammon, I'll let you serve mammon. And the result will be your enslavement as well as theirs. And the enemy that you thought was the enemy. So we did that in World War I and II. And here we are today. We did that in the war between the states. The memorializing of those dead soldiers, those dead men, killing each other, brother killing brother, for no reason except to serve the sickly ambitions of Satan and his children. The Schiff brothers, the Mortimer Schiffs, you see? The Jacob Schiffs, the children of the wicked one. And so they had the victory temporarily. And we suffered the losses. Now, we've never recovered. America has never recovered from the debacle of World War II simply because America was destroyed domestically as well as on the international front. And we see the evidence of that today. The evidence is so apparent in the economic structure of this country. We became a debtor nation. We became the largest of the debtor nations because of the largest amount of capital, the largest amount of wealth. America became a servitude nation, servitude to the international bankster, gangster, criminal elite, as we'll hear in a few moments. So we lost the war big time. Our manufacturing base started to move overseas. The unions were crept up, were built up by the super rich, by those fellows that said, give them the income tax and tax the rich. And they were the ones who were behind the income tax. And after the war, the state sales tax, the state income tax, they all started creeping up. We had to pay that war debt, and we still have it, because World War I has just about been paid off. Not entirely. That's right, World War I, 100 years ago. So we're still paying the debt. We're still slaves. And we don't even know it. I think some people are beginning to understand now that we are. But for the wrong reasons. These lockdowns and these celebrations being canceled and social spacing and distancing and wearing your masks and maybe your goggles and maybe your space suit. Unbelievable, huh? How could it happen to America? Well, God said it was going to happen. Way back in Genesis, way back in Deuteronomy, way back in Leviticus. And he said, you will suffer all of these things when you disobey me and my covenant. Now, he keeps his word. I found that out. But we don't keep ours. So you know what? Don't make any promises to God. Don't say, I'm going to do this today and I'm going to do that for you today, Lord. And I promise you I will do all of these things. Because he hates that. We make a promise and we can't keep it. We can try, we can offer to try and do our best. But don't say, I'm going to do it, Lord. I'm going to keep my word like you keep yours. Because that really is insulting. And that's what I found out over the years. I had to learn that the hard way. And thank God, thank the good Lord, that I am pleased to report it was a blessing to learn it. A real blessing. I just had another blessing the other day. I don't know if I should tell this. Believe me, I'm not braggadocious at all. I do say these things just to share the blessings that God has showered upon me with others, this audience. And, you know, I told you about my wallet last week, how I lost that. And it was a harrowing experience, and the next day it was returned, found by somebody who knew me, who was a friend of mine. It just happened the way I prayed that it would happen. The Lord answered that prayer. But I said, whatever God's will is, it's his will. It's not my will, but his. But I know his will for me is obviously to do good, not to do evil for any of us. So that happened. And just the other day, I had a problem with an internet sale. A fellow said he hadn't gotten an item. It wasn't a very large item, but it was like, you know, total of like $81 with shipping. So we went back and forth with emails. And I told him, well, here's the right tracking. It was my mistake that the tracking number originally was wrong, because when I was reading the slip, I didn't see it properly. I admit that. I told him that. I said, but here it is. This is the receipt which I'm reading now from the U.S. Postal Service, and this is the right number. And it shows that it was delivered. And he said, well, it couldn't have been delivered because my wife, you know, did not receive anything here. She did receive other packages that you've shipped. Fine. No problem. But this one she did not. And I said, are you sure somebody didn't steal from your porch? Because this is a big problem now, folks. As you know, stealing is at an all-time high. And the postal system is being overwhelmed with claims. So he said, no, we have cameras set up and everything. So I said, you know what? I'm going to honor, as I always do, I'm going to honor my commitment to you. I'm going to refund your money anyway, even though I don't have the money, and you say you don't have the film. I'm going to do that, and I'll pursue it on my own, so you won't have to wait. And I did. I did, like I can afford to, right? But I did that because I want to be honorable with all people. So I did that, and the same night, guy came back to me and said, you know, this neighbor happened to come by my house, and he happened to be away for a week or two, and he said that he received a box, and it's from you. And I said, oh, he said in the email, yeah, and it did come. You were right, and thank you so much. I'm so happy and everything. And, you know, that made me feel great again. You know why? Because I said in my prayers to the Lord when this happened, I said, whatever your will is, it's your will. But I'm going to be darn sure the next time when I mail something, not only do I have the tracking and the insurance, but I'm going to require signature confirmation. And even if it costs me a few extra dollars, I'd rather do that than be out $75, $100, $150. And so, again, to my amazement, you know, the Lord came through. He admitted it. I don't know if he was being perfectly candid, but he said that particular night, it just so happened that his neighbor came by and said, there's a package for you that I had, came to me when I was away. And there was the item. So how do you like that? And I'm so grateful, again, that it happened that way. And I have to tell you, it is unreal, folks. It is unreal when you have that assurance that no matter what, whatever you ask in his name, you're faithful to him to the best of your ability, and you repent of your sins daily, as I do, and you try to do the right thing, that no matter what, he is going to honor you. Even if you don't get what you asked for, his will is that you get more. Sometimes you get double back later. So, you know what? Let that be a word to the wise, okay? I just wanted to tell you that again, to show you, to give you some encouragement out there that no matter how bad things get here, and they're going to get much badder, no matter how wicked people become, you always try to do the best, to be honorable, truthful with all, and to deal fairly and honestly. Because that's the way. That's the way of God. And he always, always takes care of you. He always looks after you. He always knows your needs. And he's not going to let you starve. He's not going to let you go without. No, he's going to produce for you. So once again, we thank the Heavenly Father for that. Now, this, of course, as I said, is Memorial Day weekend. Art from Philly is planning to come on in a little while later. But I wanted to get back to a clip that we never had a chance to play a little bit of, which some of you are familiar with, but many probably are not. And I like it because it's from Jay Burmes, you know, Jason Burmes, who has some good, very good videos. His channel, you know, has been somewhat interfered with by YouTube. Many are still being taken down quite often, anything to do with vaccines, as we know. But he produced this video going back to the Obama years and the Clinton years, and it's still as current now, if not more so, than ever before. And it does have to do with the NWO. And what is this New World Order all about? I'm saying this because we have to look now at the latest cog in the wheel of the machinery of world government. Satan's goal has always been to bring the world together, hasn't it? God said he separates. Satan says he brings together. The ultimate in communitarian doctrine, isn't it? The ultimate. God wants everybody to be, his child who submits to him. It's Satan, the God of this world. He wants all of the people to come together and worship him and be one race, one nationality, one servitude under him. He wants them all under him. But he wants it his way. And he's going to bring peace, fake peace, as we hear all the time. Safety and peace are the watchwords of this new hoax of COVID-19 and COVID-19-2. So that's why I want to share with you, again, what he was saying then, what Bush was saying, Kissinger, Cheney, a whole bunch of others all across the world about what they wanted for the world, peace. Make war so we can have peace, the peace of Satan, bringing the world together, destroying nations, destroying nationalities, and once again, bringing one race, one group together in control of all the others. We know who that race is, the race of Cain, the Kenites. So let us see if we can, are we up against the break, though, I think? I think we are. So you know what, Ken? Hold it for just a minute, and then we'll play that, some of that clip, and then you'll get a chance to react to it in light of COVID-19 and how it plays so heavily now into destroying the economies of nations, to destroying America in particular, going back to the 1930s and Roosevelt, and then the 50s with the Reese Committee hearings that we've talked about and aired parts of here on this program. Norman Dodd and his report on the tax-exempt foundation so as to alter life in America, as to make it what? As to make it part of a one-world system. America's economy must be brought down and its standard of living, and the other worlds must be brought up, the nations of the world. That is, so-called developing or underdeveloped nations. That's why you have Red China in the driver's seat. Now, again, threatening Hong Kong. And this is why you have these two-bit African nations coming up in stature in terms of dictatorships and the leadership of the government, not the people, and you have America going down. We must be merged into a one-world system. But first, America has to come down. The breadbasket of the world must be destroyed. And God said that if that's what you want to do, you want to turn from me and worship other gods, that will be your estate. That will be your fate. In the end, of course, our people will wake up. They will know who they are and who the enemy is. But in the meantime, it's going to be rough sledding for many. And so we had better understand that COVID is the health route to implementing one-world beast system spoken of by Daniel and in the book of Revelation. That is what will befall us in these days, that system. Think about that, folks. Learn the facts.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cyber crimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
All right, back again, folks, and just a footnote to what I was saying about that transaction. After I had given the guy his money back, a package, you know, was found. It was there, as I said. He did send me the money back, so I didn't lose a penny, and we just had a good relationship. He's been a customer before. This is on eBay, and it's a film, and so it was good. Everything worked out very well, and either way, you know, I'm comfortable. Whatever happens, it's in God's plan. Now, let's get back to Satan's plan here and see all about Satan's plan for building this New World Order. Let's hear it.
Today, about the new world taking shape around us, about the prospects for a new world order now within our reach. In the coming weeks, I'll be talking in some detail about the possibility of a new world order emerging after the Cold War. But today, I want to discuss another aspect of that order. You see, as the Cold War drew to an end, we saw the possibilities of a new order in which nations work together. It refers to new ways of working with other nations to deter aggression and to achieve stability. As old threats recede, new threats emerge. The quest for the new world order is in part a challenge to keep the dangers of disorder at bay. We must build on the successes of Desert Storm to give new shape and momentum to this new world order. Only when this transformation is complete will we be able to take full measure of the opportunities presented by this new and evolving world order. The new world order really is a tool for addressing a new world of possibilities. This order gains its mission and shape not just from shared interests, but from shared ideals.
After the Gulf War had ended, Bush was so obsessed with the idea of a new world order that he had a series of Glocks imprinted with the term that he would give to members of his administration, including Colin Powell, Brent Scowcroft, Dick Cheney, and General Norman Schwarzkopf. Cheney would even approve policy papers regarding the new world order.
Defense Secretary Dick Cheney has approved a revised draft of a policy document on the new world order. The Pentagon is backing off a controversial earlier draft and has abandoned a one superpower strategy. The final document puts more emphasis on international alliances and organizations.
This would become an unprecedented time period for people all over the globe to discuss at length what the new world order meant to them. People within the media.
Does anybody want to talk about the new world order? Is there a new world order out there, or is this a vision that exists in the... Yeah, it does have its vision, there's no doubt about that. But does that exist in the president's mind, or does it exist out there in reality?
This president sees this episode as the first test case, as the first example for the new world order he is trying to organize.
Some people have called it the new world disorder, and there's a lot of truth to that.
University and institutional chairs.
I mean, we're talking a new world order at Georgetown. And we'd like to be very much a part of it and continue to live.
This is a world that is likely to be dominated in the near future, and perhaps longer, by the Gulf War and the new world order, which is the buzzword of the moment.
So the secret of a new world order, and at this point it's just a slogan, but it does have some historical background in terms that orders have succeeded each other over time. The secret of this is to learn how to use coalitions. We are effective in the United Nations.
People within government.
George Bush has invoked a new world order without enunciating a new American purpose. The president has still failed to articulate clear goals for our nation's foreign policy in this new age.
I find the term New World Order very revolting, and just not only historically, but politically today. I think Harding is absolutely right, and the actions of the administration just after enunciation of the New World Order put the lie to the fact there is any real substance behind what they say is New World Order. The first act of the New World Order was A, to make war, and then B, was to sell arms all over again.
Is there a new world order? We know certainly that George Bush has copyrighted the term at this point. In the aftermath of this war, though, is it an empty vessel into which something will be poured? Is it the appropriate term to use? Is it going to be a new world order, or will disorder be just as significant in this process as we look ahead? Let's start with Madeline.
I think that we have, in fact, kind of had this term thrown at us, and many of us have not liked it, partially because of the previous historical connotation, and partially because I think it doesn't really deal with the way the world ought to be or is at the moment. But we are far from seeing a world order, and I'm not sure that it is in best U.S. interest to have a new world order in which we are the policemen.
While many began to become critical of this order, the term began to evaporate into the background.
We are very, very skeptical.
And break time. We'll come right back to the New World Order here on Rick Adams Uncensored. And we'll relate it to COVID as well. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website, by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendovite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendovite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
What have you done? Thousands of years of building and rebuilding, creating and recreating so you can let it crumble to dust. A million years, the sensitive men dying for their dreams, for what? So you can swim and dance and play.
All right, folks, and back to the New World Order clips.
Of an international order, if we are not sure how the rules will be made, because thus far, the international order has been made with rules that we had no input into and that affect us, and even when, on the few occasions when the rules will seem to favor us, then they get changed. A unipolar world, a world of one superpower, may be quite dangerous for us.
The New World Order under the United Nations would mean, among other things, an end to our God-given rights given us and secured by the Constitution.
The New World Order, which now has been called by some the New World Disorder and by some people on the more of a more liberal persuasion, the taking over of the world by the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, and the UN to put us all in slavery.
But what are these organizations? Who founded them? And what are the stated goals of each?
Before we begin with the Council on Foreign Relations, let's delve further into history to understand roundtable groups and their origins.
Its roots go way, way back in history, and they go back to the formation of a secret society, a secret organization that was created by Cecil Rhodes, very powerful and very wealthy individual. And people have heard about him in history, and they know about the Rhodes Scholarship, and they think, well, isn't that nice? But they don't understand at all what that's all about. Cecil Rhodes, when he died, left his great fortune not to his family, not to his heirs, but for the creation of a secret society. And we know about this because there were some people very intimately involved with this organization who wrote about it. One of the best authors on this topic is Professor Carol Quigley. He wrote several books, and Tragedy and Hope is the best known of his. He described in detail the secret organization created by Cecil Rhodes, and he explains in these books he knows about them because he was invited by the organization into its inner circle. He was never a member of it, but he was invited in as their historian, and he was allowed to see their secret records and papers and study them for several years. And he knew all the important players, and he understood what it was about, and so he wrote these books. It's an amazing thing because he laid out in great detail what the purpose of the organization was and how they were the major players in all of the big international events since and including World War I. The bottom line is that you take the roots of that organization and you find out that they created in all of the British dependencies what they call roundtable groups. And then around those little roundtable groups, they created front groups. And the purpose of these front groups and roundtable groups was to penetrate into the governments of all of these different countries, to penetrate into the media centers, to penetrate into the educational systems. In other words, to penetrate into the social fabric, the power centers of society, and literally take them over from the inside without anybody being aware that they were controlling influence.
After World War I, the International League of Nations arose as a precursor to the United Nations in 1919, under what seemed to be the vision of President Woodrow Wilson and his 14 points.
The League of Nations was the first attempt at the New World Order, the first attempt at a global government based on the model of collectivism. And it was the brainchild of the elitists, the ancestors of the very people who are still working on this project. They're collectivists, the very wealthy people. They're the ones in this country who dominated the powerful tax-exempt foundations, like the Carnegie Endowment Fund for International Peace, the Rockefeller Funds, the Ford Foundation, and groups like that. These people were on record, even way back then, that they had to have a new world government, and they dreamed of that being embodied in the League of Nations. And they were solidly behind it. And that was one of the reasons those people encouraged the United States into World War I, was because of the crisis of World War I, and that would also condition Americans to thinking of making big changes in their system, because we certainly don't want another war like that, do we? It was that fear angle again. And they thought, well, by being in World War I, then we would be a major participant at the table to carve up the world and create a new world government. And that was to be the League of Nations. Well, what happened to it is that the American people didn't really go for it.
Wilson was aware of the elite and their control over society. In his book, The New Freedom, published in 1913, he discussed such a group. Since I entered politics, I have chiefly had men's views confided to me privately. Some of the biggest men in the United States, in the field of commerce and manufacture, are afraid of something. They know that there is a power somewhere so organized, so subtle, so watchful, so interlocked, so complete, so pervasive, that they better not speak above their breath when they speak in condemnation of it. Ultimately, this insight did not spare him from becoming yet another puppet of the global elite.
In all of the British dependencies, these organizations, the front groups, were called the Royal Institute for International Affairs. In the United States, they chose a different name. They chose the Council on Foreign Relations, but it held exactly the same relationship to this inner society of Cecil Rhodes.
Among the charter members were W. Averill Harriman of Union Banking, then President of the United States Woodrow Wilson's main advisor, Colonel Edward Mendel House, John D. Rockefeller, the founder of Standard Oil, banking mogul J.P. Morgan, and prominent bankster Paul Warburg.
Well, the Council on Foreign Relations exists today. It's probably the most powerful single organization in America. Many observers, including myself, believe that it is the hidden government of the United States. These people are not elected to office, and most Americans don't even know who they are. But they are holding all of the important positions in society. There are only about 4,000 of them in the United States, but I don't care what organization you want to look at, whether it's government, or whether it's universities, or the large media centers, or whatever it is, you look at the people at the tops of those organizations, the owners, the managers, the CEOs, the board of directors, and I'm going to say probably 80 to 90% of the great power centers of America are dominated by just those 4,000 people who are members of the Council on Foreign Relations.
Throughout its history, it would contain extremely influential and powerful individuals in finance, business, media, and politics. Former presidents of the United States include Richard Nixon, Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter, and William Jefferson Clinton. Currently, Barack Obama claims not to be a member, but has spoken in front of the council and has had his writings published in the council's magazine, Foreign Affairs.
It's been reported that you and your wife are in the globalist CFR, which is a Council on Foreign Relations. I'd like to know if that is true.
Well, first of all, I'm not... The Council on Foreign Relations, I don't know if I'm a official member. I've spoken there before. It basically is just a forum where a bunch of people talk about foreign policy. And so there's nothing... there's no official membership. I don't have a card or, you know, a special handshake or anything like that.
Now, why is that important? It's important because the avowed purpose of the Council on Foreign Relations is to create a new world order, a global government based on the model of collectivism. And that includes the elimination of the United States as a sovereign nation. That's why it's important. The people running this country are determined to destroy it.
The council was heavily criticized during the 1980s for being an organization hell-bent on destroying national sovereignty in favor of a world government. So many of its members hid their association with the organization. Dick Cheney had this to say in response to a question by David Rockefeller, who became the CFR's youngest director in 1949 and was chairman of the board from 1970 to 1985. He remains an honorary chairman to this day.
It's good to be back at the Council on Foreign Relations. As Pete mentioned, I've been a member for a long time and was actually a director for some period of time. I never mentioned that when I was campaigning for re-election back home in Wyoming.
Now, you are the president of the Council on Foreign Relations, all right?
Yes, sir.
You guys toy with countries of the world like toys, don't you? You're like the Illuminati, you're the Masons, you control everything, don't you? That's the rap on you guys.
What's so interesting now, though, is who's on the chessboard. It's the toys, if you will, are a lot more than states.
Notice that Mr. Haas does not deny that the CFR has massive control over the geopolitical arena, and instead tries to focus on the separate entities outside of nation states. Current Secretary of State Hillary Clinton also reveals the importance of the CFR here.
But it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
You have these private groups that are run and created by the elite, by the ultra-rich, wealthy families that have been manipulating global markets from behind the scenes for generations. They create these private groups that then feed information to the government, to senators, to congressmen, their recommendations, their policy papers, what they think should happen. And it's fascinating because if you actually read what it is that they're doing, the recommendations that they make, they're very able to get them put in place. Discussions that are going on in these private groups are really talks that should be going on in Senate committees and in the halls of Congress, but they're happening with these ultra elite groups that are then pushing their propaganda into the political mainstream, and then it's becoming enacted, it's becoming put into law.
Still not convinced the CFR is promoting a new world order? Listen to what Leslie Gelb had to say upon leaving the New York Times to chair the organization as its president in 1993.
I loved it. Doing a column is a great job. I'm going to an equally great but different job, and in a way a job that caps everything I've been doing in my life, in government and academia and in journalism. I think that's what the Council on Foreign Relations will allow me to do. Well, you know, for example, you had me and three or four other folks on this show a few months ago to talk about the New World Order, right?
Exactly.
Right?
Bob Horn,
I talk about it, exactly. Right. I talk about it all the time.
New World Order wants a global system where one small central authority of individuals can then dictate a policy that's going to be distributed down to the rest of the world, everywhere, in the smallest little town in the middle of nowhere in some remote country.
I now think it's safe to say that the Council is extremely influential on the world stage and openly promote global governance.
All right, we can
the Council
stop
and
there,
the globalists
folks.
Were
yeah,
able
we
to take
stop.
This.
I think it is safe to say that. We all know, this audience knows, we've known this for a long time. But, you know, how does it tie in now to the health crisis, as they call it? Well, you know, it all ties into the United Nations, doesn't it? Who? The World Health Organization, which is part of the CFR trilateral group of Club of Rome type of people. Create a new Roman Empire, as they would have you believe. A worldwide empire. And the United States has been chosen to be that empire to be destroyed first. And with it, the destruction of the old world order. So, you know, Bush could get on, Poppy Bush, on national television and boast. Incredible. When he said communism is dead. Communism is gone with the Iron Curtain come down. And you know that he was lying right through his skin of his nose when he was saying that. No, communism is very much alive. We don't need the barbed wire fences. We don't need any of that. We've got all of the 10 points of communism are in effect in America today in some form, and largely overseas in various countries of the world, in Europe. So communism would never died. Communism just took a new metamorphosis, a new turn, but it never died. People died. That Iran-Iraq war, the Gulf War, cost the lives of several million people, innocent civilians again, which was a small reminder of World War II, when the United States allied with the Soviet Union, the Red Army, savaged Europe, savaged the Baltic Republic, and then created Red China, which we now face on the world stage, you see, to the tune of 155 million. Incredible, but true. Mao alone could boast up to 70 million liberated under communism, their bones ground up for fertilizer. This is what communism does. Now, there were no gas chambers there. No, they didn't have time to build them after the war like they did in Germany. But, no, they used the, you know, the shredders and all of the, you know, the corpse grinding machines and so on and so forth, right out of a horror movie. And it was all on paper. It was all recorded. Catholic Cardinal Yu Ping had come and spoken before the Senate Internal Security Subcommittee, this and the communist investigations of what it was like to live under communism in China, what it was like to live in behind the Iron Curtain. And the record was pretty clear. Communism took a new form, and not with guns and bullets, you know, but with quilt and paper. Bars.
and taxes to support it. So the brainwashing is in the mind, you see. And we needed a new enemy every decade to fight in order that we may again bring peace and safety to the world. That's what the world needs, not freedom. Not individuality, not sovereignty under God, but it needed liberation again. It needed safety. It needed peace and freedom. Freedom is defined as resistance to the New World Order. That's what freedom means in the Orwellian dictionary. There we are, 100 years later or more, World War I. Now we have a new enemy, COVID-19, and we must all submit and do our part. We must all be part of the Heroes program. Well, we'll come right back and bring up some heroes after these messages.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
All right, folks. After I've just given you a bird's eye view of everything we've listened to today here so far, I think it's time to get a little musical reprieve right now, Ken, from the old Carl Klang record, the old original Poker Face, Watch Out for Martial Law. Doesn't this sound familiar, folks? Listen up. ¶¶
sort of looks like Darth Vader with his gun and his radar and his flashing blue light. He drives a government squad car full of all kinds of hardware to handle the angry mob. And with his badge on his shoulder and his gun in his holster, he'll tell you he's just doing his job. Watch out for martial law when he's out there watching after you. If he's a tool of the bankster, he's a badge-wearing gangster, an agent straight from Interpol. Watch out for martial law. He's there to prove who owns the muscle and might. And he just might pull you over to the side of the shoulder, 'cause he cannot see your license plate light. Because he cannot see your license plate light. Ain't it a frightening feeling when you're behind the wheel and you see him there? Or when you're round in the corner and he's right there behind you in your rearview mirror. Is he a foe or a friend or this public defender we see on our TV screen? Or just some vain reckless power gaining strength every hour, a threat to the American dream? Watch out for martial law.
Pretty good. Right on target, huh? Pardon the pun. We got a break coming up, the midway break. Don't forget, we have on Facebook page, our Rick Adams Uncensored Facebook page. Look it up. We have Chronicles 7:14, Chronicles 2, 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and will return to me, I will heal their land. Well, you know, it's picked up quite a few incredible responses. Hundreds upon hundreds of people are responding to that. And I'm very happy to note that when I put that up, you know, I had no idea that so many people would be attracted to the Facebook page of Rick Adams Uncensored on RBN. So you should be there now as well. And those of you still on the chat room page, we still have deadlyexperiment.chatango.com. So there's a little bit of both. We decided to do that, to get back to the Facebook page because of the tenor of the times right now, while we can. So, you know, we're going to go into our second hour in just a minute, and then Art will be joining us in a few minutes more. But this Memorial Day weekend certainly should be a somber one. People can't even visit many of the cemeteries. Visit their war dead, so forth. You know, the graves, to bring flowers. It's just a time of absolute horror. And here in my state, well, we have Gina the Governator. She's doing her magic dance. All right, we'll come back in just a moment or so with hour number two. We'll tell you more about those things in just a minute. You can join us at 800-313-9443.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.